The text for today comes from the Old Testament lesson, Genesis 18. And Yahweh appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do you seek to commune with God? A lot of people seek to commune with God. A lot of people turn inward and look toward the God within and hope that they can unite their soul with the infinite. A lot of people seek certain holy shrines that have a numinous quality about them, thinking that there they can commune with God. How about you? Do you seek to commune with God? I once heard a public lecture given by a scholar of ancient Mesopotamia. The man was brilliant, intellectually speaking, one of the greatest lecturers I ever heard on Mesopotamia. He could read a clay tablet like we read the newspaper. He knew all about ancient Mesopotamian culture and politics and economics and literature and religion. After his brilliant lecture, during Q&A, somebody asked him why he was not a Christian. He replied, "Christianity is an arrogant religion. Christians arrogantly think that the Almighty cares about them. The Almighty Creator of this vast universe has more important things to worry about than the puny little creatures on an insignificant planet at the edge of an average galaxy." Well, this scholar of ancient Mesopotamia had a point. If powerful human rulers don't worry much about lowly nobodies, what makes us think the Almighty Creator would do so? People want to commune with God, but maybe a better question is, does the Almighty Creator make himself accessible to lowly creatures? Does the Almighty Creator even care about lowly creatures on an insignificant planet? The Almighty Creator does not have to make himself accessible to creatures. He does not have to care about them. We cannot coerce him or manipulate him. He is, after all, the Creator, not some malleable idol. If communion between creature and Creator is going to happen, it has to take place at the Creator's initiative and on his terms. The surprise of the gospel is that the Creator, in his freedom, took the initiative and came down to planet Earth. And even more than that, he became man. He took to himself human nature and made it his own. The Creator became a human creature in order to have communion with the human creatures that he himself made. That would be like a potter becoming a pot in order to restore his broken pots. The Creator did not expect us to become gods, to ascend to his level to commune with him. The Creator of the human race came down and joined the human race that he created. Jesus, the man of Nazareth, is the Creator himself in the flesh. Jesus does not look like God. You would think that he would have taken the form of a Roman emperor, at least. Instead, he took the form of a slave. He grew up in Nazareth, a small, insignificant town. Archaeologists tell us that Nazareth was a town of about 400 people. Jesus became an ordinary carpenter. And yet this man, Jesus, is the Creator in the flesh. God comes incognito. That is his MO, his modus operandi. God repeatedly appeared in human form incognito in BC time. In Genesis 3, God came to the Garden of Eden. Satan took the form of a snake. That tells you something. God, in human form, paces the Garden of Eden and asks, Adam, where are you? And in our text in Genesis 18, we read another record of this. It says, Yahweh appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. Literally, it says in Hebrew, Yahweh made himself to be seen to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. This is the same God we read about in Genesis 1, who created the heavens and the earth. And now he appears in human form to Abraham. You would think that he would appear to the Pharaoh of Egypt or some king of Mesopotamia. Instead, the Creator took a human form and appeared to Abraham. It really happened in history by the oaks of Mamre. And this Abraham was a nobody. Yet the Creator incognito came to Abraham. Abraham prepared a meal for his guest. The Creator in human form together with two angels ate the meal. The Creator in human form had communion with Abraham. Why did the Creator do this? In order to give Abraham the promise that in Abraham and in his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, you know the rest of the story. God granted Abraham and Sarah in their old age to have a child, a son named Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means he laughs. God has the last laugh. And that promise then passed on to Isaac's son Jacob. And then the promise passed on to Jacob's son Judah. And then the promise passed on to Judah's descendant David. And then in the fullness of time, Jesus of Nazareth was born of the Virgin Mary of the house and lineage of David. And this Jesus fulfilled the promise. He became the source of blessing for all the families of the earth. How did he do this? By giving up his own body and his own blood on the cross, by undergoing the curse on the cross so that the blessing might be to all the families of the earth. And we now, by faith, enjoy and receive this blessing from God. Yet there is a further surprise with the gospel. The Creator himself became the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. The Creator himself became the one of the house and lineage of David. The Creator himself became the human seed of Abraham. The one who made the promise to Abraham became its fulfillment. Why did the Creator do all this? In order to have communion with his human creatures. We did not establish communion with our Maker. We rebelled. And yet our Maker took the initiative and became man and took our sin away and gave us life and established communion with his human creatures by his life, death, and resurrection. Dorothy Sayers says it well. God submitted to the conditions he had laid down and became a man like the men he had made. And the men he had made broke him and killed him. The same God who made the world lived in the world and passed through the grave and the gate of death. But the narrative does not stop there. He rose from the dead, and now the Creator in the flesh comes today to you incognito. In Genesis 18, Abraham prepared for his guest a meal. Now the Creator in the flesh prepares a meal for you. It is a special meal. It is his very own body and his very own blood, his human body and his human blood that he gave on the cross, that he is now giving to you to eat and to drink. And with it, all of the blessings of his all-sufficient work, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and the promise of your own future bodily resurrection unto life. It is the Creator's own human body and human blood that He gives us in the Lord's Supper, and all for blessing. Believe His word. Trust His promise. Your Creator comes to commune with you. Your Creator comes incognito for your benefit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.